This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, we're talking about the Content Code, which governs media and advertising content.
First, did you know we have a content forum? Because we do, and they're looking for feedback on the content code itself. And then, what role does the media play in empowering people with disabilities? And finally, SponCon, or sponsored content, where does this enter the picture?
So tell us, how do you think Malaysian media could do better? You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and if you're not familiar already, the Content Code is a reference point for everyone involved in the media ecosystem. And that, of course, includes those who create content, those who disseminate content, and those who consume content. It includes broadcasters, content creators, advertisers, social media influencers, and consumers. So, I think this is one of those things that exists, but people often don't give a lot of thought to until there's a problem or something goes wrong. But we have one, and the goal with it is, of course, to outline ways in which the media can self-regulate while also allowing for creativity and innovation within the industry.
So this is one for people who always say, you think you're the media, you can say anything. The truth is no. And here is exactly why. So some of the areas that the content code covers include indecent content, of course, gender-based violence. Interesting considering what we were just talking about, representation of persons with disabilities, and ads, of course. Now, I think the interesting thing here is that all of these areas, I think, require some level of innovation, some level of changing with the times. But the advertising one, I think, especially in the last, I want to say, 5 to 10 years, has become so incredibly grey and interesting because, of course, you have influencer marketing, you have space that is paid for in news outlets, you have advertorials. And, you know, and I think now we're accustomed to, I say we, but I mean some of us are accustomed to looking for that little hashtag that says sponsored or looking for the little indicator on the post that says it's an ad. But a lot of people, I think, also are not. So there are some areas, I think, where it's interesting to see how something like the content code has developed or will need to further develop in order to keep up with how things are changing.
And I mean, we're seeing this happen initiated by even social media platforms themselves, right? The fact that like influencers or even media organizations do need to indicate when their posts are sponsored or paid for. Now, that's, of course, on the platform side. But I think there is a need to for organizations themselves to have sort of a frame within which to do this in a way that is fair, because let's face it, we all need to make money to survive. But at the same time, transparent and in a way that also serves the consumer to be able to make an educated choice.
Which is where we find ourselves. The content code is being revamped, and the content forum is welcoming feedback from the public on this. And this is really important. I recognize how when we run shows about the media on BFM, it sounds like the media talking about the media. But in this case, there's actually a very direct correlation because it comes down to what we report or what other people broadcast or the kinds of things that people write and advertise, all these different things. And what you want to see, what you want to see advertised or displayed to yourselves, your children, you know, there's so many aspects here. So I'm curious to know what people are going to say, actually, and how it is that the public will weigh in on the code.
So we'll be hearing first from Madiha Mahmood, who is Executive Director of the Content Forum. That's coming up after this. But we would like to hear from you. How do you think Malaysian media could do better? You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:14. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about the content code here in Malaysia. That's because the Content Forum is looking to revamp the code to keep up with the times, really. And they're looking for public feedback on that process. Let us know, how do you think the Malaysian media could do better? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now to help us understand this, we are joined by Madiha Mahmood, who is Executive Director of the Content Forum. Madiha, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start by getting to know the Content Forum of Malaysia a little bit. What does this body do under the MCMC?
Okay, so the Content Forum is a self-regulatory organization or an industry forum. We are designated under the Communications and Multimedia Act, and we're registered under MCMC. What we do is we're basically established to oversee and promote self-regulation of content over the electronic network medium. And our members consist of key players in the content ecosystem. We've got broadcasters, advertisers, content creators, civic groups, online service providers, and the like. So we're quite well represented in that sense. Yes. So that's essentially what the Content Forum is all about.
We touched on this a little bit earlier, the content code, which is the central thing that we're looking at today on our show. But can you tell us more about that?
Sure. I think you ladies really summed it up really well. But in brief, the content code is a key reference point for everyone. It outlines the best practices and standards for responsible content creation and consumption across all digital media platforms. Now, the first content code was registered way back in 2004, and it was most recently revised in 2020, but it was only 4 revisions back then, addressing privacy, streamlining ratings, optimizing parental controls, and regulating slimming ads, which were issues that were quite pertinent at the time. But this year, what we're doing is we're doing like a complete overhaul. We take note of the fact that there have been technological advancements and societal developments, and there needs to be a holistic revamp of the content code to address policy gaps in content regulations, which were not addressed in previous versions.
So the content code is just that, right? It's a guideline on best practices. It's not actually a legal document. So why is it still important for anyone in the digital space today to be familiar with this code?
Yeah, you're right. The content code is not a legal document per se, but it is to be complied with by the broadcasters, for example, or anyone who holds a CSP license, and is also quite applicable to all content creators and consumers. The reason is it's quite important to remember that the Content Forum derives its very existence from legislation, you know, the Communications and Multimedia Act. And it's, as I mentioned, we're established to oversee and advocate for self-regulation. And self-regulation actually complements legislation. It's a vital part of today's global economy, especially in diverse industries that face continuous innovation and growth, including the communications and multimedia content industry. Because everybody has realized that state regulation, like legislation and administrative rules and things like that, is not considered the best way to go for this fast-growing content industry, which is why the CMA or the Act promotes self-regulation via the content code. So to answer your question, Sharmila, the content code should really be a point of reference for everyone in the digital space because, little known fact, compliance to the content code is a defense against any prosecution, action or proceeding of any nature, whether in court or otherwise. That's in the Act itself. So that's really good for everybody to know because right now I think everybody is a content consumer and almost everybody is a content creator.
So part of the reason we're talking to you today really is that a total revamp of the content code is underway. What are some of the ongoing issues that have highlighted the need to update the code?
I think the main reason is the rapid growth of the internet and social media usage, really. I mean, for example, the very fact that Instagram, when it was first introduced, I think about a decade ago, it has begun to become very popular these days. And there's an influx of influencers or key opinion leaders or whatever it is that we call them now, which is great. It's good to have influencers. And because of the growth of influencers, there is a growth of influencer marketing. And a lot of these influencers have a great deal of power in shaping public opinion, including consumer behavior. But unfortunately, we have seen how some irresponsible advertisers or brands take advantage of this by using influencers to flout advertising rules. For example, pushing slimming products or cosmetics that would not have been allowed to be advertised on traditional media. So the revisions in the content code makes it clear that any third party, including influencers, who have a commercial arrangement with a brand to advertise a product or any service, they're expected to play by the same rules with other advertisers. So that's one. I think a second one is the fact that there is a really good growth of the Muslim market. And unfortunately, there has been, I should say, an exploitation of religion through marketing gimmicks. So we've noticed that as well. And irresponsible parties are tapping onto this growing Muslim market by selling goods or services with an Islamic gimmick, and therefore misleading consumers by exploiting their faith. Now, this phenomenon was also not adequately addressed in the content code, and it's one of the many revisions that we propose to make.
So what are some of the key pillars that you're focusing on in this new content code?
The key pillars, I suppose I could say that there have been eight, there are actually eight key focus areas. Like you've mentioned earlier on, there is the introduction of prohibitions against online abuse and gender-based violence. This one is actually sort of already addressed in general, but it's made even more specific now because we have a problem with, if you can see, you know, women being cyber-stalked or doxing or, you know, dissemination of lewd pictures without their consent, things like that. We also have enhanced the rights of persons with disabilities by making sure that code subjects give reasonable accommodations for persons with disabilities to have access to the same information that the general public are given. We have enhancements of rights for children in advertising. We're making sure, like I mentioned, responsible advertisers include influencers as well as online market operators. Ensuring that there is disclosures in identifying advertisers, a responsible advertising for intoxicating liquor under strict regulations. Then, of course, there's the prohibition against exploitation of religion in ads. And also related to religion, we're proposing that Islamic content to feature only accredited speakers or preachers. Those are the, I think I could say, the eight key pillars that we have right now.
We do have a question from an anonymous listener who wants to know, with this recent incident of the actor making rape jokes on TV, how would the content code address this sort of thing, or does it already?
Yeah, we are currently looking at that. We've seen we've seen it, obviously. It's gone quite viral. And if we're also working with MCMC right now to review the content and to see whether or not it breaches the content code. In the content code itself, there is a list of items there that would probably be relevant to this particular incident. So it's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing investigation, and it is happening. We will be taking the actions accordingly.
So the Content Forum is currently doing a public consultation exercise. Tell us how this works.
All right. So the Content Forum members have spent most of this year working on this new draft. We split everybody into many working groups. We engaged in some pretty heated debates. And we also engaged legal consultants who helped us to conduct benchmarking exercises to make sure that we have the best practices and also adapt it to the Malaysian ecosystem. And then we finalized a draft of this proposed revamped content code. So now what's happening is we are in the middle of this whole nationwide public consultation exercise to gather feedback from members of the public. And I really highly encourage everyone to participate in this because it's really important that we have your say as well. And information on this exercise, of course, can be accessed on our website at contentforum.my. Anyone and everyone is really welcome to provide their input because the more feedback we get from people, the more likely this new content code reflects the standards of Malaysian society, which is the measurement used for us to determine the guidelines and best practices in the code.
So what sort of feedback have you gotten so far?
Oh, wow. We've got pretty good feedback. I think to date, we have more than 400 responses. We provided a detailed PC paper, a public consultation paper, and our survey form is really very simple. There are just around 20 questions on the key proposals, and respondents are either to agree or disagree, and they're also able to provide the input. feedback, any suggestions that on areas that we might not have addressed. For example, we've seen there has been quite a substantial number of people lobbying for responsible suicide reporting. And then, of course, there's some debate over some of the things that we are proposing, which is very good because, you know, debate is a catalyst for growth. And it's really good to see that people are giving their feedback. It's going good so far.
And what are the plans moving forward once you've collated all this feedback?
Once we've got all the feedback, what we need to do is to sit down and go through all of it with a fine tooth comb because every single opinion counts. And then what we'll do is we review the feedback that we've received and we will have to sit down again with the working groups to finalize the draft. We might have to change some things around or add some things. And then once that's done, we will publish our public consultation findings and we will then submit the final content code draft to MCMC for registration.
Madiha, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, ladies.
That was Madiha Mahmud, Executive Director at the Content Forum of Malaysia. As we mentioned, they are running a public consultation exercise to revamp the content code, and that's running until the 9th of November. So if you'd like to weigh in, you can head on over to contentforum.my/public consultation. Once again, that's contentforum.my/public consultation. Now, something we have coming up later this week, with Budget 2022 coming up, what do SMEs want and how will they, well, later next week, actually, where is my head? With Budget 2022 coming up, what do SMEs want and how will they be supported for the upcoming year? Tune in to Enterprise Biz Bytes at 12 p.m. on Friday, the 29th of October, for a live SME-focused budget breakdown with Bernard Yap of Ernst & Young Consultants, and on Monday, the 1st of November, for recap and analysis with Fung Mei Lin of PwC, brought to you by Masing, Reinvent Spaces, Enhance Life. So do continue weighing in on today's topic. We're discussing we're discussing really Malaysian media and what we could be doing better as things change, as the spaces we operate in change. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:37. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're looking at the Malaysian Content Code, which is currently undergoing a process of revamp. They are looking for public feedback as well. And so we are discussing essentially ways in which the Malaysian media could do better. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, one of the areas that the revamp wants to focus on is being more inclusive, specifically empowering people with disabilities. So for that, we are now joined by Bernard Benjamin Nathan, who is co-founder of Don Management. They're a talent and modelling agency that emphasises inclusivity by casting differently abled and alternative models. Bernard, great to have you on the show.
Yes, hello. Hi there. Good to be here.
So you started Don Management back in 2018 because you felt that there was a lack of representation of differently abled people in the media. How has the situation evolved since then?
I would say, yes, the good news is the situation has evolved a lot in a good way, because ever since we started Don Management as an inclusive talent modeling agency, I'm actually proud to say that we actually managed to influence others out there to also show inclusivity, especially in the fashion industry. And an example would be, I started seeing more fashion brands, fashion shows, and even other mainstream modeling agencies. They have started accepting disabled models, or as you can also call it, differently abled. And I think also generally, not in fashion terms, after this, people actually saw the potential, you know, that PWDs, people with disabilities, can bring. They are like an untapped audience, you know. So now it's become common. It's slowly becoming common, and that's good. So as you can see, all it needed was actually someone to do it first. You know, everything always seems impossible until someone does it. Yeah.
So now that the government is revamping the content code, one of the focus areas, as we said, is the representation of persons with disabilities. Could you talk to us about what the problematic aspects are in this area?
I would say, okay, when you talk about persons with disability, right, I would say they one of the problems they would have to deal with would be the confidence issue in PWDs. Okay, this is, of course, not applied to all of them, but generally speaking, most of them have been denied opportunities for so long that they have just been indoors all this while, you know. So for that confidence issue, I believe a lot of most probably workshop will be needed to combat this if you're going to want them coming out and interacting more, you know. And also, if you want persons with disabilities to come out more, you also have to make sure that the proper infrastructure and accessibility is given to them. You know, like, for example, don't expect them to come for like a photo shoot or an event if it's all the way at the top floor and you don't have an elevator, you know. So like, make sure there are ramps entering the building. Even little steps can be like a huge hurdle. So yeah, I think generally this can cover for most PWDs, you know, even like blind who uses a stick, the place has to be accessible for them. Yes.
So we've seen several cases of media content or advertising, for example, being criticized for failing to reflect diversity. Now, where do you think this gap is coming from?
There could be various reasons for this, I believe. But the most common I would have to say is it could be that these media and people who are doing these ads, they don't really know where to find these talents, I would say. Because, okay, let's be honest. Let's say if you're going to do an ad or something and you want a plus size model in there. So even if you want a plus size model, you're not just going to pick any plus size model. You still want quality, right? You want someone with the confidence, someone who can act the role given. So I think it's finding them. That's the first problem. Like, you know, it's like, it's a huge problem. Like, where do I find this people? So that's also why we started down management. So like, so you know where to find PWD models. So what can be done for this is, I think it's about time that, you know, like other maybe talent agencies out there also start representing models from various segments, you know, like a real diverse bunch. And that's one. And maybe another problem, like where this gap is coming from, so also could be they were just not clear enough in their casting call, I think. Yeah, because we all saw what happened to Food Panda ad, right? So yeah.
And on the side of content producers, what can they do to push for the diversity, and what are the specific hurdles there?
Okay, so content producers can actually start by thinking of the different ways that people from all kind of segments can actually be included. It's actually possible to build their content around it, no matter what is your content. There's always a way. When there's will, there's a way. So like, I really love this one brand called Beautera. You know, they're a cosmetic brand, but if you look at all their campaigns, their photo shoot, they really embrace diversity. You know, they know that in the real world, you have women from all kinds of background, you know, dark skin, skins with pimples and all that. So they really show all kind of diversity in their campaign. So it just feels so real, and people really love the brand. You can see their engagement on social media is so good. I think the hurdles that will be faced here is also the same thing like I mentioned earlier. It'll be like looking for these specific people when you speak of diversity. But I think most content creators out there should already have like a high number of followers, so they can leverage on this. And if they don't have a large amount of followers, a simple shout out would do. You know, like, you'll be surprised, like if you actually tell them you are looking for them, they'll be so happy to come forward. But you got to be clear in your message and put it out there to attract the people you want, if you want to showcase that diversity. Yep.
So we're talking about the content code today, of course. So from a regulations point of view, how can the content code address this issue?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
How can the content code address this issue of inclusivity?
Oh, okay. Well, I think if you're going to build it, I would like to see them built in a way that you don't make PWDs seem like a symbol of weakness or sickness. So it starts with how you view them, you know. This could also be one of the reasons why some participants are hesitant in showing PWD representation because of the misguided outlook. So first, you have to have a proper outlook on PWDs. Yeah.
Bernard, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was Bernard Benjamin Nathan, co-founder of Dawn Management, speaking to us about inclusivity in media, in content, specifically from the perspective of people with disabilities. Let us know, how do you think Malaysian media could do better? We're asking this, of course, because we're looking at, we're discussing the revamp of our content code today. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And after this, we'll be discussing sponsored content on news platforms. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:48. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been talking about the content code specifically because the content forum is in the midst of revamping that. And so we'd like to hear from you. How do you think Malaysian media could do better? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we're going to close off our conversation by looking at something that's increasingly a reality for many news organizations, the sponsored content. And for that, we are joined by Kamarul Bahrain Harun, who is former editor-in-chief at Astro Awani. Kamarul, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, sure. Hi, Lynn. Hi, Sharmila. About time that we talk about these kind of things.
So, yeah, talk to us about how you've seen the news media evolve in the online space.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. I think this is the most important point in history for journalism, for media, both in terms of content and in terms of industry, because we cannot separate the quality of content, the ethics of content, and the survivability of the media as an industry. Hence, I was so happy, even though I'm no longer in the newsroom right now, to hear Saudari Madiha saying that, you know, there's a lot of changes that we're looking at. However, even though I'm a big fan of her, you know, powerful lady in a very powerful, pivotal institution, I do wish that we go faster and faster towards having a media council, because self-regulation, self-governing, it has been since day one of the history of journalism in this world, not just in Malaysia. So, but after many years and decades, and every country has its own, in Malaysia, it's more like we expect the government to regulate the media. How can that be relied upon when we want the media to play the role of the fourth estate, both against slimming capitalists that wants to push slimming products and services, and also against, you know, the more big government kind of power? So I am all for this, and I hope the devil's is always in the details and also the implementation of things.
So, I wanted to know, what are some of the key issues that concern you at the moment? Because you ran through a number there, right? And whether our current regulations are actually sufficient to address the way news is evolving.
It's sufficient if you want the things to be like they are, Lina Shamila. But I am sure you guys, being younger than me, I'm like the you know, the old person here in the discussion. But my heart is still young like yours. I want to see us talking more positively about what the media and the media's role can be for the development of the nation. Right now, one guy said this about one thing and that's the news of the day. The news of the day today should not even be about COVID-19 rejuvenation. it should be about how COVID-19 rejuvenation be benchmarked against 3 years from now, 5 years from now. We want to move into the digital age. We don't want to use My Sejahtera as a reactive to the pandemic. We want to finally have a digital approach that is both a literacy and awareness tool, at the same time, a public health tool. Right now, literacy and awareness, go and find it somewhere else. Want to check in and check out of a place and monitor whether the person is vaccinated or not, go to My Sejahtera. How many apps do you want to have? How many efforts and initiatives do we are we able to master? So I believe literacy and awareness are two very key things for stuff like content code. That's why I believe rather than regulate the media and journalists and editors, sub-editors, work with them. We are people and there are lesser of us now, Lynn and Shamila. I'm sure you've lost friends in the media. I'm no longer in the newsroom. Hundreds, if not thousands, of journalists trained, editors trained, are now having to look at other spaces. And why is this? The new digital age needs talent. And who is talking about regulating the algorithms and the dynamics of machine learning for us? These are the more hidden but pivotal. By the time you read the news, it has already been selected. If you use the big tech platform, it has already been manipulated the way it's put on to you. Kita nak makan nasi lemak, but the nasi lemak choice has already been made for us, Lynn and Shamila.
So speaking of literacy, right, which you brought up, what are your views on sponsored segments in news channels, right? How can we make it clear to the viewers that is what they are?
First and foremost, I believe day one until forever, ethics is not compromisable. There's no negotiation for ethics. Ethics and in journalism is what makes professional content and creative content what it is. But with technology being more pervasive, social media and everything else, everybody now, like Saudari Madia said, can be a content creator, or almost everyone. But to differentiate the professional ones, like you, like me, like every other of our compatriots in the media industry, ethics must be central. For ethics to be central, it cannot just be regulators. That's just looking at the stick. But the carrot is for us to be respected as the people. I'm sure Lynn and Shamila doesn't want to put fake news out in Inside Story. I do not want either to put in any story or anything. So allow us to become better by wanting to be ethical, by helping us to be so, incentivize us for that. So a media council can do that, because the practitioners from the journalists, editors, right down to the media owners are more proactive instead of reactive and waiting for, the stick to come.
So previously then, when you were in the newsroom, what was your approach when it came to incorporating sponsored content?
Oh, I'm very simple. Nobody tells me and my team and my journalists and my editors what to do. Nobody tells us what picture to put, what brand to say first. You don't hear, during my time at Awani, my anchor saying, pakailah jenama ini atau telefon ini adalah bagus untuk apa. Tidak ada. There's no such thing as that, Lina Shamila. I guarantee you, I do not say fake news here. You can check all the records on that. So that's my stand, because sponsorship is fine. We need it, and we need to work together. Airspace, digital space, sacred trade of our industry. So it has to be valued. It can be sold, but what is not for sale is our soul, our integrity, and our ethics. Nothing, nobody should touch it, not even the most powerful or not even the least powerful. It is what it is. It is uncompromisable.
So on that note, right, some journalists do have large followings on their own social media. They post about news in a more personal way. Where does this fit in today's media landscape?
You see, that blurring of line comes because of the pervasiveness of technology. Because in the old days, the editors, when the journalists come back with their stories or when they submit their stories, they just look at that and that's it. And the medium for that to come out, if you were in the printed press before, then it's the front page or the back page or any page. But with social media, with digital, they can have their own accounts. And their own accounts can have their own name, but they can also use the publication's name. That's why for Awani, when we started out digital a few years back, we get the blue tick, like on Twitter, get for all our reporters to be verified, and we have our name, and at the end of our name is the name of Awani. So, and we have a content ethics guideline that every single staff signed to, and we abide by that for the digital. We amend that for digital. But the question here is, for some, because of the pressure of commercialism and everything else, some brands and some posters, they approach the content creator, the journalist or the content maker directly. So this is where the blurred line is. But I think that's easily done, because if every single journalist, if every single content creator stick by the professionalism of ethics that they have, they would not go beyond that, because they know you can only have trust one time. The moment you betray that trust to your readers, to your fellow journalists, to the industry, to the country, you won't have it back again. So I think that's how I'm going to approach the answer to what you asked, because we can go deeper than that. But the umbrella is still back to ethics. Whether you use your name, because at the end of the day, even though you use your personal name, but you're still talking about the same things that you're talking about when you work under the name tag that you have for your organization.
Kamarul, thanks for speaking with us today.
Sure. Always a pleasure, Lee Shamila. I'm sorry you have to work in the evening, but hey, safe drive home later, okay?
Thank you. You too. That was Kamarul Bahrain Harun, former editor-in-chief at Astro Awani. So again, the Content Forum of Malaysia is running a public consultation exercise until the 9th of November. So you can share your thoughts at contentforum.my/public consultation. That's contentforum.my/public consultation. You can also share your thoughts with us. What can Malaysia media be doing better? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.